Hello and welcome to Take the Black, a podcast where we discuss all things fantasy and science fiction, and especially all things Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire, and Westeros, and today, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. My name is Daniel Roman. I'm the editor of winteriscoming.net, and I'm super excited today to be joined by special guest host, Mark Nettles, Game of Thrones TV and film content creator. You might know him from House of Nettles on TikTok and YouTube and other platforms. Mark, thanks so much for being here today. How's it going?
I'm good. I appreciate the invite. I'm happy to talk about some more A Song of Ice and Fire.
Yeah. So before we dive straight in, because this is your first time on the pod, can you tell people a little bit about who you are and what you do and where they can find you, just briefly before we get our Knight of the Seven Kingdoms hats on?
Yes. If you enjoy listening and talking about Game of Thrones, different television, film, all that good stuff, and a few books in between, please check me out at House of Nettles on TikTok and YouTube, like you said. It's House underscore of underscore Nettles if you want to get super technical. But if you see this lovely face, you're in the right place.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. So super excited to talk to you about this stuff today, because obviously, so for those of you tuning in, we're doing this show because it is the year 2026. And in barely a week, I think, as when this goes up, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, the new Game of Thrones spinoff, will be premiering on HBO and HBO Max. Premieres Sunday, January 18th at 10 p.m. on both HBO and Max. There is a little confusion there because all the marketing just said HBO Max, but it is on HBO proper too. And yeah, we're going to be talking about the show, but today we are talking about why we're excited for the show, why you should be excited for the show, and kind of what we're hoping to see in this. So Mark, I'm going to toss it back to you here and ask, like, why should people care about this show? Will it live up to the legacy of this franchise? Well, let's start small.
I think that's a good question. Why you should be excited is because if you just enjoy all that political drama you got from Game of Thrones, you're getting less of that, but you're getting it in a good way. It's really taking it back to the common folk. It's a smaller story. We're really reducing it down. Instead of going over this sprawling cast of characters, everything's happening in almost a single setting. We get one small story following our titular character, well, not our titular character, but the main character, one of the main characters, Sir Duncan the Tall.
Yeah. Yeah. So for people who may not be familiar, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is based on these novellas by George R. R. Martin, The Tales of Duncan Egg, which are all collected in this book, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. He's written three of them to date, The Hedge Knight, The Sworn Sword, and The Mystery Knights. Season one is adapting The Hedge Knight. Six episodes doing the full story. Martin wrote it in, I think, 1998. So, like, expect that this won't be a tune in next time to see what happens sort of affair. Like, it is going to be a complete season, a complete story about this knight, Sir Duncan the Tall, Dunk for short, and his mouthy, tiny squire egg. And yeah, it should be pretty fun. Like you said, focusing on the small folk, this novella that this season is based on takes place almost entirely at a tourney at Ashford Meadow. So I know one thing I'm excited for is to see a tourney done, like, really with all the bells and whistles, because I feel like Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon have done tourneys, but they've never been like the focus in the way that it's going to be on this show.
Yeah, we've always got like a little teaser of a tourney. Even in House of the Dragon, I want to say it was episode one, we see a tourney. We see a good amount, but then it's gone. We never really kind of revisit this. Even Game of Thrones, when they have the tourney of the hand, we see it for an episode. It's happening, but then it ends abruptly. Darn you, Sir Gregor Clegane. So, you know, hopefully we get to encompass what a true tourney is, even on a smaller scale, because we're not going to be in King's Landing for this one. Like you said, in a smaller setting, smaller castle, really bringing it back down to the people.
Yeah, totally. I feel like with Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon, the tourneys are usually like, here's the big drama going outside. And the tourney's almost kind of like set dressing a little bit. Like it's just kind of there and then it's gone and we're moving on. And, you know, someone important dies during it or something. And this is going to be different. Like Martin in the Song of Ice and Fire books, he always has tourneys. He talks about as like, these were big, important tourneys where X, Y, Z happened. But like, this will be the first time that it is really the central setting for one of these shows. And it should be a lot of fun. Speaking of like it being fun, I think the tone is also going to be pretty different, for this, right? Like, what would you say like people should expect? Like, so you've read the novella, The Hedge Knight. Like, do you think it'll be as fun as they kind of have been hyping this series will be?
I will say this, just looking at the trailer, to me, it feels, even though it's not a real way, even funnier than the novella. Yeah. Like it's very you know, like a comedic tone, it's still grounded, but it feels like lighthearted. Like I'm happy to adventure into this world. It feels like someone going on a small adventure. And so I really enjoy that we really get such a different tone from those two main series shows.
Yeah, totally. It almost feels like the exact opposite of House of the Dragon a little bit, because that, you know, House of the Dragon is a tragedy. Like,
yes,
it's very heavy. Like, don't expect anyone you like to make it to the end of House of the Dragon unscathed. And this is like, you know, it's a knight and a squire going on adventures. And I totally agree with you. Like, the trailers seem more fun than I expected. Like, there are more like laughs. It seems like they've worked in almost more jokes, because like the novella is funny, but like I wouldn't, comedy is not the first thing that comes to mind when I think of it. But I feel like that could work really well for this show, you know, like Duncan Egg's rapport as the main like buddy pairing. It could be so much fun. So yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, I feel like that's one of the main things that's kind of bringing the comedic element to me, is being able to see Dunk. Like, we're pulled away and we're looking at him in a whole room. Like, when you're reading the novella, okay, we're seeing it from his perspective. So you can't really get a sense of how the other characters are observing him. Like, we know he's a big guy. From the trailer, we can see he's dressed in shabby clothes. But seeing like, oh, you know, we see him, we hear him stumbling over his words, kind of like I just did. We really get a sense of how he's moving in the room, how that one quick scene they had with him going the wrong way after he's talking with someone. So I think they're doing a really good job with that.
Yeah, totally. That's a fun call. Like it, you know, these three novellas are all from his perspective, and I didn't really think about that until I saw footage from the show, like in these trailers, like how it is going to be a little different to see Dunk from the outside, because Dunk is like, he's so self-berating in the novellas. Like he has this mantra, he thinks to himself, like, Dunk the Lunk, thick as a castle wall, that someone said to him once. And he kind of uses it whenever he's like, ah, that was stupid. He thinks about this in his head. But like, I don't know, I never thought of Dunk as thick as a castle wall. And like, I feel like the show's going to toe that line where like you see like the earnestness of this character and like the good qualities of him, because Dunk is great. He's a really like good, honorable young knight who just wants to, you know, uphold his vows and be a good person, which is like so not the norm for these Game of Thrones shows to have people who just want to be good people. But seeing what that looks like from the outside is going to be fun. Are there, aside from Dunk, aside from Egg, are there any other characters, scenes? We're keeping things like light on spoilers, so have no fear. You know, if you haven't read The Hedge Knight, we're not going to go blowing the new series for you. But is there anyone else you're excited to see in this series?
There are two characters I'm super excited about. The first one is going to be a deep pull. They already said who the actor is going to be, but it's the character of Steely Pate, the blacksmith.
Nice. Yo, that's a good one.
Yeah. Every time I read it, like I just love his interactions with Dunk. I love how he feels like a burly, sour blacksmith who's interacting with this young knight who's coming up to him. And I'm not gonna lie, when they first mentioned that they were gonna make this a television show, I was like, can I fan cast myself as Steely Pate? am I burly enough? Do I need to gain a few more pounds in the stomach to make it happen? I might be a little too tall for Steely Pate, but I can't wait for that character.
Yeah, that's a good one. I feel like Steely Pate's one of those. He's not the first one that came to mind for me, but I totally agree with you. He's such a good, memorable part of this story. So he's the blacksmith that Dunk goes to when he's at Astro Meadow. He needs some armor. You know, he's an attorney. You can't go in wearing just your shirt and your trousers and hoping for the best when a lance comes at you.
You can, but it won't end the best.
No. And yeah, he's played by Moroccan British actor Youssef Kirkor in A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So they have released an image of him, and I know I got really excited when I saw the image.
Yes, more Steely Pate. Steely Pate spinoff.
I'd watch Steely Pate just making armor for, you know, different people all around the realm. You said there were two. Was there another one?
Yes. My second character, who I'm super excited about, who they've already had in a bunch of the marketing, is Aerion Targaryen. I love my prince, Aerion Brightflame. Brightflame is his nickname. I think he's actually played by Finn Bennett. He was in True Detective Night Country. So I loved him. I didn't realize it. I'm like, oh, he looks so familiar. Then I, you know, look at his Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, he was in Night Country. I like that television show. That was a good season of True Detective. I love the Brightflame prince. I love that he's just menacing the whole time. I don't want to give too much about his character, but he's 100% who he is all the way through. And that is a true, almost a little bit of a jerk of a prince. Probably not a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we could safely say, you know, like there's that saying about Targaryens where the gods flip a coin and whatever. And like, you know, Aerion's, he's kind of leaning toward the bad side of that coin flip.
I think it came heads up.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, he's, you know, but that's one of the things we love in these Game of Thrones series is characters that are so loathsome that you love to hate them. And yeah, Aerion Targaryen, you know, the novella is only like 180 pages or whatever, but he really makes an impact in his time in it. And yeah, I'm excited. You know, Finn Bennett, I haven't seen Night Country, sadly. I ashamedly have not seen Night Country. But I heard that he was really good in that. And also he was like the earnest, like rookie cop. Right. So yeah. Like this here, he's like the puffed up noble Targaryen prince who is insufferable, like that kind of character. Like think of Joffrey, but not quite a Joffrey because no one's quite a Joffrey, but like that sort of role in the story. And that's going to be cool to see him tackle something like that.
Yes, maybe if he had the unbridled power of Joffrey, I can see him giving him a run for his money. But at least for now, we're going to get to see him be the prince that, you know, no one really likes outside of the immediate people around him.
Yeah, that's interesting that you said the unbridled power, because so this show is set kind of halfway on the timeline between House of the Dragon and Game of Thrones. It's around 90-ish years before Game of Thrones, a century. And that same amount of time from House of the Dragon. So spoiler from House of the Dragon here, but I feel like it's not too much of a spoiler because it's the whole idea of the show of House of the Dragon is it's the decline of House Targaryen. There are no more dragons by the time of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. They're all dead. Mm-hmm. So House Targaryen's power as the ruling family of Westeros looks really different without dragons behind it. And we're going to see what that looks like and kind of, I feel like it'll be interesting to see almost halfway toward Game of Thrones, like how the other houses view them and how the common folk view them and how they view someone like Aerion, who is like, you know, he can be a lot, Aerion Targaryen.
Yeah. I think that's what really a real big emphasis of this show is showing how House Targaryen needs to kind of, you know, spread out, really mingle with these other people, these smaller houses. When you don't have dragons to back you, the only thing that upholds your power is really other powerful people. So even a middling power as Lord of Astrid is, it's like, well, we need to make sure he's happy to help control every region we can.
Yeah, totally. And like, fortunately, all the Targaryens are not, you know, it's keeping that power, it's not like they're all awful at this point in time or whatever. So one that I'm excited to see is Baelor Targaryen, Baelor Breakspear, who's played by Bertie Carvel, I think. And he's kind of the other side of the coin for a Targaryen. He's like the very noble, honorable, you know, sort of Targaryen that people admire. And he, at this point in the story, he's like the heir to the Iron Throne. He's Arion's, I think, uncle.
Yes.
So yeah, he's one I'm excited for personally.
And it's going to be very fun because we get to see a Targaryen with dark hair.
Yes.
He is. Yes. No more platinum gold, blonde, whitish hair. Like, hey, he's going to look a little different than I think we're used to from watching in terms of the hair color from Game of Thrones and the House of Dragon. And kind of explain that I want to say his mother is Dornish.
Yeah.
Yeah. So his mom's Dornish. So that's part of that. Okay. House Targaryen needs to spread out and marry some of these other families. Of course, they're still going to marry brother and sister, but we got to incorporate some of these other realms to kind of solidify our hold over Westeros. So now we got a Targaryen prince with dark hair.
Yeah. Which feels like it's been a while coming. I'm glad to see that because it kind of shows the shifting landscape of the Seven Kingdoms and the ruling family. And I don't remember off the top of my head what character, but I could swear there was at least one in House of the Dragon who had dark hair or like a streak in their hair or something that the show changed to have the wig. But I don't remember who it was off the top of my head, so I might be mistaken.
Oh, no, you are 100% right. The queen that never was. Rhaenys. Yes, yeah. Rhaenys. She was supposed to be half a Baratheon with dark hair and one silverish streak, and they changed that. And I was like,
Yeah. And you know, Eve Best, like Eve Best cannot be touched. She's incredible. I'm not gonna complain about, you know, how they portrayed Rhaenys in the show, because I think Rhaenys is the least of that show's issues. She was pretty solid.
Oh yeah. I think in my headcanon, I just said, okay, her hair just turned all white from that one streak.
Yeah. But I like that, you know, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms is keeping that little tiny tidbit of world building from the novella and from the books.
That's because they trust their audience, and we're going to be able to tell, even though his hair is not platinum whitish gold, he is a Targaryen.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think people will be too confused about that. I think, you know, when they roll up with their dragon sigils and stuff, it should be fairly clear, I hope. So speaking, you know, it mentioned House of the Dragon a second ago. That is obviously the other Game of Thrones spinoff, which is coming back for season 3 later this year. It's in a more tenuous place than A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, because the narrative really kind of turned on House of the Dragon after season 2. A lot of people didn't love the finale. You know, George R. R. Martin kind of came out and was like, I have some beef that I'm going to air very publicly. So are there things, I guess, well, wait, first of all, how are you feeling about House of the Dragon as we roll into 2026?
I am really excited that we're getting 2 Game of Thrones television shows in 2026. I think that's one of the main things. So great on that.
yeah, totally.
I'm ready to wait and see. Like, I'm not super upset and stomping my feet or anything and saying I'll never watch it again. But I'll say season 2 kind of ended abruptly for House of the Dragon. And I know they had, you know, having some issues. They had to, what they said, cut 2 episodes from the end of that season and now place them at the beginning of season 3, but then that kind of throws off the story they had planned for season 3 and so on. And now each season is going to have those 2 reduced episodes. And I'm like, where's all the story going if we're not going to have them?
Yeah.
But I, you know what? Even through all that, I'm still excited to see what they do. I'm invested in the characters, and I want to see what happens to all the dragons and all the Targaryens in House of the Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm not, you know, I didn't love the way it ended, but there were still some really incredible moments in House of the Dragon season 2. Like the Battle of Rook's Rest was amazing. Some of the dragon stuff in the Red Sewing was like, I don't know that I've ever seen dragons this cool on television. Like, it's amazing.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first and only GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. Fee not included, and billed separately. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
The concerns about the way that the narrative of the season shifts when the episodes get cut from the end and put on the beginning, I'm definitely there with you. I know that the showrunner Ryan Condal confirmed recently that it is going to end with season four. Like, there was reports like a few weeks ago that one of the heads of HBO was like, maybe we'll let them go longer if they want. We leave it up to them. And then Ryan Condal on his props podcast, The Stuff Dreams Are Made Of, was like, no, season four is going to be the end. So I'm very curious how they're going to pull that all off.
You know what? That could be a good thing. We know they have an ending. They know how much story they have. So at some point we just got to trust that, hey, trust them in finishing that story and giving us the ending's not going to be happy, but as long as we're satisfied with what they give us, that's probably the most important thing.
Yeah, totally. So I brought up House of the Dragon because I'm a little anxious for House of the Dragon, you know, like I feel like this is the year when it's got something to prove. So is there anything you're nervous about for A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms? Or you just think this is like, it's already decided, this is a home run, people are going to love it?
I am nervous about the expansion of the story. I know we brought up kind of, it's a shorter episode runs going into A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. So when I first heard, oh, it's going to be six episodes, before I knew the times, I'm like, this story's not that long. Like you said, it's 100-something pages. I'm not sure how you expand that to something that can fill that runtime. And then I know there's going to be reduced runtime, about 30 to 40 minutes an episode.
Yeah.
Even still, now I know they said they had to add a little bit of plot, extra plot to this story, just to see how they are able to weave whatever extra story they're trying to tell within it. If it's going to be flashbacks, is this going to be extra character scenes, which typically, for the most part, especially Game of Thrones early on and House of the Dragon, when they do add certain scenes, it turns out well. Like, there have been really good scenes where just completely show only, but have really well done. So I can't wait to see it. I'm nervous, but I trust them so far.
Yeah. I think, honestly, that's probably the most fair thing to be a little nervous about. I feel like I'm there too, because, like, so we have seen an image of Sir Arlen of Pennytree, who was Dunk's old knights, you know, who taught him the ways of knighthood and whatever. Dunk was his squire. I don't think this is really a spoiler because this is how the story starts. It's already in the trailers. So Arlen dies. This is the very first scene of the novella, is Dunk burying Arlen. We never actually see him alive, but we've seen images of Sir Arlen of Pennytree alive. So I don't know if they're doing flashbacks or they're dialing back the beginning or what, but we know that they are going to be making some tweaks here and there. So yeah, I'm nervous about that too, but I feel like, you know, George R. R. Martin has been really vocal in his support for this series about feeling like they've done a really good job adapting his book, which I didn't really know that he felt this strongly about The Hedge Knight, but he's come out like at Comic-Con and a few other places and been like, this is the best, one of the best stories I've ever done. And it's like, okay, like,
all right, let's hear him out.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been my first, you know, like I've read a lot of his books, so, but like I could see, like, you know, The Hedge Knight is a very full, succinct, enclosed tale. So yeah, if he's happy, maybe we'll be happy.
Yeah, if he's enjoying himself, like, all right, I can enjoy myself a little bit more. It's like, and probably you can't be angry at the third show. You can't have three shows you're angry at, George. So you have to...
It's true. At some point, you gotta just be happy with one of them. I feel like Game of Thrones, you know, it's so interesting because, like, he obviously was very happy about it at first. Yeah. And, like, then just went radio silent near the end because what can he really say? Like, he hadn't finished the books and they went past them. And, like, you know, he always was, like, kind with the way he talked about the cast and stuff. But grumbling about the butterflies as they change things.
He loves the butterflies.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully if this one pleased him, it will please the diehard fans who are always, you know, getting on House of the Dragon for changing stuff.
You know, sometimes they say things and I'm like, okay, that's a very good critique of A Song of Ice and Fire or House of the Dragon or whatnot. And sometimes some of those, I feel like I'm a super fan, but there are even more super fans above me. And I'm like, y'all think you're being reasonable right now.
Yep. I definitely hear that. So I'll be curious to see what all, you know, factions of the fandom or however we want to think about it, think of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Because, yeah, it should. Once I found out that the run times were a half an hour, I agree with you. I was really relieved because, you know, doing 6 hour long episodes would have been way too much, I think, for this story. I saw a lot of people saying, like, why don't they just do a movie or a mini series? And like, I feel like 6 half-hour episodes. So I don't know. Did you watch Murderbot on Apple TV?
I got to finish it. We had started watching it, so I got to get back to it and read the book.
Yeah. So Murderbot was really fun. And like, similarly, that's based on a novella by Martha Wells. And that one, they did expand quite a bit and they added a bunch of stuff. So the novella is around the same size as The Hedge Knight, but they did 10 half an hour to 40 minute episodes. So I feel like A Knight of this, and it worked really well, like really, really well. Similarly, like they made it funnier almost than the book. And the book was already funny in the first place in some spots. So I feel like A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms could be in an even better spot in terms of how faithful it is, because they're, whatever they add can't be too much, or we would need more episodes.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a few flashbacks here and there. And like you said, I can see if that's a very good plan if they did expand Sir Arlen's character just a wee bit. We get a couple flashbacks, get to see him alive. Like, hey, we read all these novellas about him here. Dunk mentioned him throughout all three novellas. Like, let me see him walking around for a little bit.
Yeah, totally. So speaking of the novellas, do you think, would you recommend people read this first? Like, this is kind of a nebulous question because, like, people are going to do whatever they want. But, like, you've read them. I've read them. Like, what do you think?
I've been shouting from the top of the mountain to the bottom. If you haven't read The Hedge Knight yet, don't read it. Go watch the show, because it's so close. You might as well enjoy it for what it is, because I saw Game of Thrones before I read the books and I turned out okay. I hope.
yeah.
I like the experience of, you know, just go watch it visually. It's it's still a good, a great book, a great story. So watch it, then come back. You can read all three novellas. And you can be caught up for when season two comes out, which is next year, I think. So
yeah,
so that's good. You got plenty of time. Yeah. What about you? Do you think they should read it before? It's only 2 weeks now, so we gotta.
Yeah,
well, like a week before they see this.
that's all right. You know, it's a one or two sitting read. But no, we are close enough that I feel like you're probably right. I feel like people who've read it before, like, come reread it. Like, I'm gonna reread it, you know, like, maybe you should too. But if you haven't experienced this story, I think just watching it, like, that's totally a fun route, and probably, you know, I don't want to say better, but like, why not? You know, you're going to get to experience it slightly differently when you read the novella, and then you'll have two more to go to tide you over until season two, which, like, I am so psyched that they have a Game of Thrones show that they can finally be back on a yearly model with. Cause I feel like that is, like, I don't give House of the Dragon grief about this, because it's just so many shows are doing it now. Doing the 2 year gap between seasons, yeah, for the big, huge, high budget effects and stuff. And it's kind of Westworld's fault because they made the model for this. They were like the first show to do this where they were like, we need 2 years. And since then all these other shows have, but it's really refreshing that we can watch this. And if we like it, we'll be watching it again next year.
It'll be back. It's a good comforting show, and I can't wait to turn around and be like, oh, they are, because I think they already started production on season two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, no, it started in early December, production on season two. We saw there was an Instagram post or a video or something of Dexter Saul Ansel, who plays Egg. He reshaved his head, you know, because he's not wearing a bald cap, that kid. He's shaving his head for each season, and he did it again because they were starting to film. So season two is already underway. And I think that's a really good thing. Just because we get to watch it sooner, but also obviously Dexter is going to grow up, you know, like,
exactly. As soon as they said they were refilming it back to back, I'm like, okay, obviously, because like you said, the young man, he's going to grow up. And so we got to try to film at least the first two novellas pretty close together. Like, I get to the third one, you can grow up a little bit. It can be a little different.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, the third one is almost a coming of age novella for Egg a little bit. Yes. So I feel like if he's like approaching teenagehood a little bit, like, that's fine. Hmm. But yeah, these first two, I'm glad they're doing them back to back. You know, Peter Claffey, who plays Dunk, is a big guy. Like, I'm sure they could sell it anyway, but they'll only have the vast size difference between them to play with for so long. So make the most of it, HBO.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it. That's a good one.
But yeah, so A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, premiering January 18th on HBO and HBO Max, 10 p.m. Do you have any other thoughts about this series, the books, anything like that, before we move on into our, like, what are we watching and reading section of the podcast?
Yes, I will say this. If I love this book series, these smaller books, just because the exploration of knighthood that we're going to get in this television show. When looking at some of the other knights, like in Game of Thrones, you saw Jaime Lannister. He has that famous speech when he's in the bathtub, and he's conflicted with all the vows he has to go through and how they change and who I'm supposed to defend here or there. Or even when in House of the Dragon from Sir Criston Cole, how he's a man, he's lost in what's perceived as honor. He doesn't even almost know how to act. And now he's dealing with all this shell shock from season two of Hot D right now. We get to see a knight at the beginning of their journey. He has no big name. There's no house behind him. We're just seeing a young man try to make it on his own. And I think that's going to be a real cool thing to see on the television screen after watching those big flag, big shows of Game of Thrones and House of the Dragon.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I feel like it's interesting too, because so Dunk he's one of the common folk. He was born in Flea Bottom. So it's interesting, you know, the examples you gave. I guess Criston technically was too. He was a bastard. He wasn't like nobly born the way Jaime Lannister was, but he's a in the Kingsguard at a certain point. So like we only really saw Kristen in the Halls of Power and then on the battlefield, like when he had Station. We didn't see him starting from scratch the way we're going to see Dunk starting almost from scratch. And it's interesting because he's almost a more idealistic, not almost, he is a more idealistic knight than like Jaime Lannister or Kristen Cole. So it is going to be refreshing and interesting to see, you know, a knight's take on Westeros from someone who wants to be a knight instead of is like, these vows weighing me down. I just want to, you know, sleep with who I want and do whatever. Like Dunk wants to be a knight, like full stop. So yeah, that's going to be nice. This show's going to be a feel good show, even as it brutally shocks us with its twists and turns because it's still Game of Thrones.
Oh yeah, it still has to be a Game of Thrones show at the end. But yeah, do you have anything that you're really looking forward to that you're super excited or just overall?
Yeah, I think the two things that I'm really looking forward to in this show are one, just to see the chemistry between Dunk and Egg. That is really what the novellas ride on, is just these two mismatched characters. You know, Dunk is kind of quiet and kind of always threatening to give Egg a clout in the ear. Egg is just constantly running his mouth, and like they're just really fun. And I feel like if the show gets that dynamic between the two of them, it will work and people will love it. And if it has problems with that, then that's a problem with the show. But like, I don't think it will have problems. I think they probably nailed it, or George R. R. Martin would not be shouting its praises from, you know, every mountaintop he can find. So I'm really excited for that. I'm also really looking forward to the jousting in this, because it is at a tourney. George has been pretty, forthcoming with them him challenging the production to do like the biggest, craziest, best jousting scenes that have ever been put on film. And I want to see if they pulled that off, because there are some really cool joust moments in the novella, and one in particular that is probably going to be in episode 5, I imagine. That's kind of the climax of this story. I'm really excited to see all that stuff. And every time I've seen clips of it in the trailer, you know, of that scene in particular, but also just the other little bits of jousting, I'm like, ooh, this could be really fun. It's like a Knight's Tale, but Game of Thrones version of it.
Yeah, see, you got me. I got all chills now. I'm thinking of the trailer. When Dunk says that line in the trailer, are there no two knights among us? I'm like, oh, that's our favorite line from the novella.
So good. Yeah. I mean, that's one of my favorites too. Like, how if you don't feel anything when he shouts that line, it's like, what are we doing here? Like, and they put it. There are so many lines straight from the novella in those trailers that like I'm seated. I'm here for it.
Like we're all in. We're all in.
Yes. A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms. Tune in. We'll be covering it here. Tune into the podcast right after the episodes, and we'll probably be talking more about this. As much as we're excited for A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, here as we wind down the show, there are other shows and books and movies and stuff out there somehow. What have you been watching or reading, Mark? Anything fun lately?
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with the book series, The Will of the Many, or the series is called The Hierarchy.
Yeah. Strength of the Few.
Strength of the Few. I think it's that show behind me right now. But
okay. So I haven't read these yet, but I know all about them, though. James Islington, right? Was it good?
Yes, it's good. I'm reading the second book right now. Now I'm like almost halfway through, and I'm like, ooh, when's the third book gonna come out? But you got like a little Roman fantasy. People they got powers, cool magic system. So I've been really excited about that. I just got done watching Pluribus. I can never say the word right.
Yeah, Pluribus.
Pluribus. Oh man, too many syllables.
Vince Gilligan.
Yeah, Vince Gilligan. Very much enjoying that. You got to stop the hive mind by any means.
Yeah.
But anything else I'm kind of watching? I know in my house, The Pit on HBO Max coming out. We love a medical drama, so we're definitely going. I think it comes out the night we're recording this, so by 9 o'clock, we'll be watching some more of this medical drama for season
nice.
Two.
Nice. Enjoy. Godspeed. I've heard nothing but like really good things about the pit. I don't know if I'm ready for that level of anxiety. Kind of feel that way, like watching The Bear. I'm like, this is fun, but anxiety inducing.
Yes, yes, to the max. It's all stressful, and I don't know how I watch it every week. I feel exhausted, and I'm just sitting on my couch.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so I've been watching so much stuff right now, partially because there's just a lot coming out from the end of the year into the new year. So like I did see Avatar Fire and Ash this past weekend. And it was pretty good. I think it's my least favorite of the three Avatar movies, but like it's still a crazy spectacle, the likes of which you can only really see at a James Cameron movie in a movie theater, like some really incredible filmmaking and stuff. So if you haven't seen Avatar in the movie theater, like that's really where it's made to be seen, I think.
Yeah, I think that's on our list to go this weekend to catch it while it's in the movie theater so James Cameron can make another one, because I know he threatened us by saying, if you guys don't show up, I won't make any more.
Yeah, he's like, maybe I'm done. It's like, whoa. You said you had two more of these.
I'm coming, I promise. I'll be there, James.
Don't rush us, James. Yeah, so I'm curious to hear your thoughts and if you like it when you see it.
I got you.
I've also been watching Fallout season 2, which is a lot of fun. I love those games, and the second season of the show is just like a raucous, irreverent time that like has a lot of really cool nods to the game, but is telling its own story. I feel like they felt more freedom to reference the games this time around because they're in New Vegas, which is a really famous location from the games. So yeah, that's a blast. Yeah. And the other two, I'm watching Spartacus: House of Asher on Stars, which is the new Spartacus spinoff, and Stranger Things just finished.
Yeah,
as we're recording this.
There's no more Strange. No secret episode.
Did you? No more. Yeah, that was. I feel like the cope was really strong for people with the end of Stranger Things. So if you're watching this and you don't know, there was like a whole online conspiracy that the final episode of Stranger Things wasn't really the final episode. And the Duffer brothers had secretly recorded one more that they were going to release a week later. And like, it just hasn't happened because like they put that finale in movie theaters. Like there's no way it was a fake out.
No, I knew it was a fake. But deep down, I wanted to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, right? You want to. But yeah, so did you watch Stranger Things? Did you watch the end?
I didn't watch the finale. I watched the beginning of season 5, and then I kind of fell off, and I started watching it through social media, which is the best thing to do.
Wow, you fell off at the end of Stranger Things? That's crazy.
I got two more parts to go. I didn't see part 2 or the finale.
Dude, that's awesome. Well, you'll be able to watch it unencumbered by, you know, the online fervor at some point, and we'll see if you love it or hate it, because it is dividing people.
But I know there won't be anything after that last episode.
Yeah, that's true.
No week of stressing myself out.
That's right. You won't need to worry about if the secret episode is coming or not. But yeah, so I think. Anything else you want to shout out?
Shout out to me. If you enjoy me here, yeah, please check out House of Nettles and all those other cool places like TikTok and YouTube. But no, I'm really excited for Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I can't wait to watch this whole season and go on a journey with all the fans of this whole series.
Yeah, hell yeah. Definitely hard agree with that. Mark, thank you so much for joining the pod today. This has been such a blast. It's been a pleasure to talk Night of the Seven Kingdoms with you.
Hey, I appreciate being here. Thank you.
Yeah. So this has been Take the Black. We do this podcast weekly. We've been on a bit of a hiatus, but we're going to get back to doing it weekly now that A Night of the Seven Kingdoms is coming back to HBO. Keep an eye out for episodes after the episodes of A Night of the Seven Kingdoms premiere on Sunday nights. And yeah, if you enjoyed this, like and subscribe in your favorite podcast place. We're on YouTube, we're on Facebook, we're on Apple Music and Spotify and all the usual suspects. So if you enjoyed, we hope to see you again. And until then, we'll see you at Ashford Meadow.